This week on The Droids, we are still reeling and wrestling and wading our way through our feelings, trying to figure out what the new state of the Star Wars Union is. We're going to talk about the rise of Skywalker, where we go from here. We're going to talk about hashtag release the JJ cut or release the Abrams cut, whichever the hashtag is, I don't know. And we're also going to talk about some new comics dropping from Marvel. All this, that, this, that, and the other, and more on The Droids. Welcome back to The Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Clearly, without Mike, yeah. I'm Sam, yeah. Alongside Chris and Ryan.
I think that's a clear indicator of kind of how we operate without...
Well, Sam, when you said we've been wrestling, I thought, have you guys been having slumber parties without me?
That'd be wrestling.
Strictly Greco-Roman. there's been no rock bottom.
Are you not entertained?
Guys,
hey,
we had a third weekend.
Yeah,
the movie's been out. We're continuing into the new decade.
Somehow, what is it? How many days? Like 17-20 days since the release.
17-20 days since the 3-year anniversary of the release of The Rise of Skywalker. Is that what you're trying to say?
Somehow it feels like it's been out for 100 years. The way people have been unpacking this thing.
It's true.
It is weird. Like, I mean, you know, the last several years,
yeah.
With all, you know, I mean, we've, you know, social media has been around in various forms for a long time, but I mean, as with all technology, the growth and sort of like explosive, parabolic, increase in yeah. content that's coming out is like ever increasing. And when I go back and think about seeing The Force Awakens in 2015 and immediately jumping on, you know, Reddit and Facebook and whatever other social platforms to like mm-hmm. read about it, it feels like
Ello.
Just such an anthill compared to what like yeah. is out about this movie. And particularly I and we as a podcast have really strong opinions yeah. about this movie. So maybe I'm also just seeing it more, but I need a break.
I don't know. Yeah, it is. It has become the kind of the cultural zeitgeist. I mean, I did not expect to be talking about kind of the merits of the movie itself for this long, if any.
Right.
I think I was more expecting to be in that kind of honeymoon period that I was with the other releases, where you're seeing them 4 times, you're seeing them 5 times, you're just saying, wasn't that cool when that happened? Now this is kind of a lot of unpacking, a lot that
we're
seeing
it. You know, other fans who are just as intense a fan, you know, might only see it once, but yeah. really, really love it. And that's not like just the only measure of fandom.
I think, though, I heard on another podcast, I believe it was, I want to attribute it correctly, but I don't want to misquote anybody. I believe it was on Scavenger's Horde, which I really enjoy as well. Two of the other Star Wars podcasts.
Shout out
Scavenger's Horde and Sky Talkers, I think, are both fantastic.
They really... Sky Talkers, Ryan, you turned me on, yeah. and that is a truly great podcast. And I'm excited to listen to Scavenger's Horde now.
Yeah, and they were saying how, you know, they were mixed at best on a lot of the choices made, but they said the one thing that we didn't anticipate is that maybe JJ would make a bad movie. No, it was like wasn't even like. And I'm not saying yeah. that it definitively is or isn't, but it is like,
it is.
It's certainly
it's
in
movie.
The, it's in the conversation.
It's in the conversation.
It's like
yeah.
not a good movie, like it's, on its own.
There's something
it's
missing.
It's a fun music video.
I like the idea of a music video because the music is very good.
The music's great, except whenever they you know, pre-launch that cue that's supposed to be at the credits and they put it in the movie.
Yeah. I'm actually gonna say too, like I bought the score. I'm underwhelmed by it.
I usually pirate the score, so No, I'm just kidding.
No, I think
it was. You're right. It was. It's it, not. It doesn't have that. Like, there's no theme in there that's like kicks you hard.
You know, Mike, who I can't wait till Mike
who?
Is. I can't
I
wait till
heard
Mike
that name
is back
for a long, long time.
We love you, buddy, and we miss you, and can't wait for to have him back on the pod because you know it's been a while since he's gotten to like jump in. But
he's
Mike
in a
and I recorded
coma from watching the movie. He's got that water vest all strapped.
I was
going to
say he sprung a leak. I heard last time.
Next time you come to the pod, next time he's on the pod, he's gonna be spewing water everywhere.
But right, the last time excluding our actual like immediate reaction pod, you know, the last time Mike and I recorded right before, you know, going to see it, and it was like probably the fourth or fifth time on this podcast I said, look guys, I think there might be some retconning, but it's not going to matter because just go back and watch JJ's movies. I yep. said, I've been watching the Star Treks and they're great. They're, you know, it's, I really,
Sam,
this is an interesting thing that it's
Sam,
like,
I,
it does make,
I oh, think of ahead. That, I think of that moment of you saying that because at that moment, any like kind of fear or hesitation I had, I was like, you know what? Sam's right.
Oh no.
Nothing I'm to so worry slow. About. I put my phasers on stun. I put my blast shield down.
Oh no!
I walked in. I'm watching Greg Grunberg fly a ship into a big spaceship wing.
I mean, you couldn't. I'm surprised you could even see what was going on. To be honest, at the end there, I was confused. I had no. It was so. Oh, okay. Okay. We're not going through that. What we are going to talk about is clearly like it is weird to be still unpacking this. Our text chain has been kind of nonstop, and we are digging through. I mean, Chris, you have
nonstop Chris, is a conservative way to put what our text chain is.
Chris has been sending
our text chain should be written only in composition books. Stacked
I'm surprised
high
we could
department.
Even understand. Sometimes we just speak in like parables.
Well, I would say
it's four people talking to themselves in the same time.
I would say that Chris, before you go and say that you're surprised we can understand it, sometimes I can't understand you.
Well, that's Chris a lot has a deck of speaking through Siri. So all the pronouns get wonky.
Try saying Babu Frick to Siri. See what happens. Babble fish. Babu blip. Baboon
but,
lip.
But you've been, but Chris, you've
can
been.
Can you believe that baboon lip?
You've been. There was a baboon in this movie that was apparently fixing Kylo Ren's helmet.
I actually really like that.
It was that was one where I was like, I didn't quite get it. I was like,
he kind of. You know what he looked like? Remember, there was like a cereal commercial creature that was like running around all the time, and he's like all fuzzy. It looked like the bottom half of his mouth.
Oh,
guys, here's the thing: it's
cinnamon,
like you're making fun of. You're making fun of this, but of all the things that are wrong with the movie, thank God we got the payoff of Kylo Ren putting his mask back on. Remember how he like literally asks? He asks a room full of generals, "What don't you like my mask?"
It's like
that's a thing that happens. It yeah, sounds like yeah. a joke. If you had played that for me 3 weeks ago, I would have said that's a funny joke because I like my own jokes, obviously. But
it's an SNL bit.
But that's yeah. a thing. He really walks in and says, "What did you say? Well, you don't like my helmet."
It's almost like Poe's joke about the mask in the first movie. They're being nostalgic of themselves
through the apparatus.
A lot of what we've been reading mm-hmm. has been there's been kind of two directions we've been going. We've been reading obviously a lot about this sort of suggested tension between the various producers on this movie.
Ooh,
JJ, Terrio, and Bob Iger, and you know exactly sort of the overarching question of like who is responsible for what we saw.
We
in
want
this movie.
A name.
We just want a name. Just give us a name. No harm will come to him. We promise. But
Terrio could
is a him.
It could all be over. Just give us a name.
It is a him, I'm sure, who's responsible for whatever this is. But the other way we've been going is like reading back through. I mean, there were so many leaks leading up to this movie, mm-hmm. some of them amazingly accurate.
I've been doing some serious research, guys.
Yeah.
There's so many things.
If Chris dedicated any, if Chris dedicated a fraction of the effort that he puts into like reading online like message boards from the last year into anything productive,
we would be the biggest podcast in the world. Ira Glass would be sweating us if Chris like, put
this week on This American Star Wars.
We should launch This American Star Wars. We should rebrand. That's very funny.
Yeah. So actually, guys, don't say anymore because I think we have a golden idea. So we literally in our text chain, we were talking about all of the things that in like the hype and all of the, you know, sound and fury that we forgot about that were like talked about a year ago. Like, remember when we talked about on the pod that people inside were saying that the final shot of this movie would blow people's minds?
I think that must have been misquoted as it blew someone's mind apart, as in the Emperor's face literally melted away.
No, but like they couldn't have been talking about the shot in the movie. No. Because we've seen that 1, 2, 3. This is the fourth time we've seen that at the end of a Star Wars movie.
There was nothing that was mind-blowing as
the
described.
Thing that was mind-blowing was that they found out that they were using the same shot from Pasana.
the thing that makes...
Guys saw that, right? How it's same shot? So the shot of... Someone like did like... People dove deep into this. This was like a real
conspiracy. My question is, if you're a listener to the pod, how do you get the movie to put clips of it on make GIFs and stuff?
That's a great question.
I see so many people I see so many people like posting clips and things of it. I'm like,
Kylo shrugging.
Can I be brutally honest? Like, I don't even want it right now. You know what I mean? And that's like a crazy thing for me to say. And I know that'll change. I truly do. I know I'm going to own this movie at some point. Obviously, I'm going to have access to it through Disney Plus, which I still love. But like, that's a weird place to be. I've never once come out of a Star Wars movie and truly been like, I don't even want that one.
You know what? I didn't buy Solo.
Wait, so, but quickly, this is
kind
of old news now.
I bought Solo when it was like $4.99 on Apple.
This is kind of old news now, and it came out with like all the news of the reshoots and the release, the Abrams cut. That's a great way for us to move into this.
So old, last Friday, yeah.
So the shot of Rey with the twin sons at the end, people broke it down and like lined it up because they were like, something's fishy here.
It does look weird.
It's a cutout of they rotoed her out of the same shot in Pasana when she's looking at Kylo Ren's TIE fighter approaching, TIE Interceptor. They used that same footage of her. Like, people lined it up and they just like rotoed her hand and like took the lightsaber out and stuff like that. So it's this very strange thing that fueled the conspiracy of theories and possibly, you know, correct theories that there were like major reshoots and late in the game.
So much. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that you do like when you're like making a sketch with your friends. You're like, did you get it? And you're like, yeah. And then
it's the kind of stuff that you do. I mean, obviously,
like,
this
no,
is the
I
case.
Didn't get it.
I don't mean this in bad taste. But literally, they did it in this movie. It's the kind of stuff you do when an actor dies.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But like, they could get Daisy Ridley conceivably to stand in a desert somewhere. But I think that people were speculating that it means that it was probably so late on.
Yeah, like past the point of return of getting a crew out there. Like, it had to be a no-risk situation to do that.
Well, there's apparently some folks who've also dug around and are speculating. I haven't seen the evidence of this, so I'm really, like, you know, passing notes outside of school. But like, there's apparently a sort of theory or conspiracy around where the shot of Ben Solo, like in his death immediately following the kiss, mm-hmm. the shot of him falling backward People have speculated that that's reversed, and that
I've heard, I heard that first today. Also, that,
well,
that in fact, the shot actually would play forward where like Daisy Ridley's Rey is lifting him up,
interesting.
And there's speculation that maybe that original ending is the two of them together.
Oh, dying.
Living.
Okay.
Sorry. Dead people lay down. Dead people lay down. Dead people lay down.
No, quite the opposite.
You know, in Star Wars, some people call it Star Wars A New Hope. Others call it Star Wars. The shots of the Tusken Raiders, when they're putting their staffs up and down, they shot so close to the ends of that film that they didn't have any extra takes of that. And so then that, if you look, it's actually a looped shot. That's just a little fun fact.
This is just like that.
You see his arms go up, and then you see his arms come down.
I could tell that.
Yeah,
this is exactly like that. They ran out of film when she was standing in the desert in Pisana.
They did shoot it.
And they said that was the last one we could get forever.
They did shoot it on 35mm film. So
yeah, they said that was the last roll of film that Kodak ever made.
They said, sorry.
You know what else?
They said, but we're out of money. Sorry.
You know what else I could tell that Chris, this is something you shared today, and I know it's been making the rounds, but like the whole thing of like Maz Kanata as a puppet in
movie. I had no idea.
I could tell that.
Oh, really?
In the movie, I could tell.
I never read the article you said.
Oh, yeah.
15 texts unrelated were followed up. So Maz Kanata was a puppet in this?
Yeah, an animatronic. Yeah.
I notice that she looked different, but I couldn't put my finger on it.
Honestly, in my mind, I was like, the CGI looks pretty bad on her.
Guys, you know I'm a real animatronic head.
I know. That's why I thought you'd enjoy that.
That's why Chris sent you the article specifically.
Maybe you should have sent it to me directly.
Yeah. Do you have a mailing address?
What? No. Guys, we don't do stuff off the chain.
But
if you want me to really read something, you send it to me with the return address IRS.
I just put it in my my mail file labeled garbage can. I don't know what that was.
Chris has labels on all his garbage cans.
Yeah. Well, that was interesting. And
he doesn't want to eat out of them.
It happens sometimes.
Wait, so Maz Kanata was CGI?
No,
so that means, or it wasn't CGI. She was an animatronic.
Yes. The article was saying that it might be the most advanced animatronic ever made.
Why? See, like, of all the things they've talked about on the press tour, why wouldn't they bring that up?
That should be step number one.
Yeah, that feels like...
That's what Chris Terrio should be talking about.
I mean, anything to snow the conversation the other way. They should be like, they should be finding every win they possibly can.
The press following this has been weird. You know, the absence, there's the absence of the story group on Twitter. There's something fishy. There definitely seems the movie, the way it's as assembled and as released, the movie it doesn't feel like a J.J. Abrams movie. It doesn't feel like a Star Wars movie. It doesn't feel like, it feels like a very rushed movie. And it feels like we know that it was edited, that there was a lot of rewriting and a lot of sort of what feels like things edited and reordered in post and things like that. And we're gaining more and more evidence and suspicions of pretty heavy reshooting. This one feels weird. Like you heard about this with Solo and you heard about it with Rogue One and that felt like, yeah, but they're trying to get those Star Wars stories off the ground. They're trying to find their feet with them. That makes sense. You know, in a saga film that's ending the saga,
the narrative of those was that they hired like younger filmmakers who weren't as experienced and they had to have someone step in, yada, yada, yada. But like this, it was like they went with the safe bet.
Mm-hmm.
Like the almost ridiculously safe bet to the point that we were like, that's a boring choice. But like, okay, cool. Like he'll bring it home. That'll be fine. But
he'll send us,
It's very strange. There's also like with the story group, a lot of the stuff I've heard, like Poe's background isn't in line with canon,
The canon is
only like 4 years old.
That's what I was going to bring up. Is that it? To me, this ending film, and kind of right when I saw it, then the press tour that's happening around it, it seems like they are giving up on this canonical enterprise that is Star Wars, in the sense that they were very big on making sure everything played together, everything tied in, the comics led up to the movies and everything. To me, I think they felt pigeonholed or locked in because they didn't know where to go, and then they put all these rules on themselves. To me, it feels like an abandonment of that. And the fact that they keep calling it the Skywalker saga, which is like, no one, I can't think of many Star Wars people or anyone would refer to the series as the Skywalker saga. That is like marketing packaging. That's like,
right.
That's bundling.
We called it Star Wars. It was called Star Wars. That was enough.
So now what they can do is they can say, oh no, all that stuff happened in the Skywalker saga, and then this stuff happens in this one, and then there's new rules and new things, and all that other stories don't really tie in with these stories. So to me, it feels like they started that abandonment with this movie, when they're like, all right, well, this will be it for this kind of canonical juggernaut, and now we'll just have to fill in the other pieces as they lay.
Do you think
you're not wrong, Chris? Because I mean, we're already seeing
for once.
What's that?
I wish I hit record.
You're seeing like gradually like the fingers get pointed. I mean, like Terrio even said like, oh, it's only 9 movies because George always said it had to be 9. I mean, let's not bring George. Like, you guys haven't brought George into this at all. Like, this is not, these are not the movies George wanted you to make.
All respect to George completely. You paid $4.2 billion, so you didn't have to listen to George anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and you can make either argument. I mean, it's interesting now because I think for a long time, certainly up through The Last Jedi, I would have argued that was a good thing. And we had little rumors and heard, suggestions and whispers about what George wanted to do for 7, 8, 9.
He's still in Sam's bathroom.
I still think that, where they were taking this between The Force Awakens and Last Jedi was more interesting to me. I was happy with that, that choice. But, I don't think you can't have it both ways. You can't point the finger at the guy after, when the one that you did didn't work, after you didn't listen to him for 4 years.
This is what, like 8 years ago he sold the thing, right? Or
7 years ago, yes. Yeah, I think it was 2012,
right?
So I was
all right, well, this guy, he shouldn't even be in the conversation now. He's probably sitting at his couch watching his own movies or whatever.
George's at home, I sold it for $4.2 billion. I gave the money to charity, and they're still yelling at me?
Yeah, exactly. Somehow it's my fault. Everything's my fault. Yeah, that is... I never thought of it that way. That is really sneaky of them to be like, well, we went to George's house, and we got his notebooks, and when George speaks, we're writing every word down. Like they literally said that in those... That's really funny.
And then they say really dismissive stuff, like, he loves his midichlorians. And it's like, you went to this man's house and we're like, listen, I know you don't get anything out of this anymore, but we were hoping that you'd just give us some ideas. And he was like, okay, this is what I imagine.
Hey, George, you got anything to drink? You got anything to drink here? I'm real thirsty. Nah, I don't really like that.
He tells them, and then they openly in the press are like, he gave us ideas. We didn't use any of them.
Well, do you remember?
It's like he didn't use any of them except all of them.
We didn't use any of them except where he mandated it needed to be 9 films, and that's why this last one feels rushed. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like,
most of the basic plots and stuff. And
no movie studio is like Hunger Games. You can't. Why couldn't it still be 9 chapters just in 2 movies?
So the rumor. There's another rumor, and this relates to the JJ cut, everything, but that George had one of the things the idea of the son of Mortis being the villain, and that was perhaps the role that Matt Smith was playing.
Yeah.
And now I just happened, so I think it's known on the pod that I'm not entirely caught up on Clone Wars, and I've been watching through it on Disney Plus, and
it's
this
so
weekend.
Good, yeah.
I was watching it, and I got to the whole Mortis, 3-episode arc, and have you guys, do you guys know who the Son of Mortis is? Have you like seen those?
No. I haven't. I'm working my way through the series. Feel free to talk about it. It's been out for 10 years.
It's fascinating. It's essentially, it goes into a place where clearly George was really interested in. It like blows up the idea of like the Force as a larger entity, and essentially kind of at this, I don't know if it's suggested to be the so-called bright star at the center of the universe that's mentioned, you know, in Star Wars, but there's this place that you know, Anakin and Obi-Wan and Ahsoka end up where there are two beings, one who represents like all of the dark side of the Force and one who represents all of the light side of the Force, and they are the children of this character Mortis, and the Son of Mortis is like the representation of the darkness, basically. And you learn it kind of dives into the question of like if and how Anakin could be the one, the bringer of balance, so to speak, you know. And they set up kind of a, you know, they present him with, you know, a trial essentially, that he makes choices that then influence the rest of the series and where it goes, you know. But the idea that George was advocating for a character like that to be brought in makes so much sense and would be such an interesting thing to see, because the character of the Son of Mortis in Clone Wars reminds me a bit of what they were doing. I was going to say with Adam Driver, although I don't know that the Son of Mortis was really being pulled to the light at all. But like this idea of who the villain could have been, I really think this movie like truly flatfoots itself and falls over coming in the door by having the Emperor back. And, you know, I think the most interesting version is like, how do you redeem Ben Solo if he's also the big bad of the movie? But then this idea of introducing Son of Mortis is really, really fascinating. Those episodes are in the middle of season 3. I don't know how far out you guys are from them, but like get to them quick.
Okay,
especially right now, it's like really kind of important to the conversation.
The more I watch this series of Clone Wars, the more I'm in the maybe controversial, not really, but I wish that the sequel trilogy was just kind of animated in that style. They would have been so lower pressure on my...
it truly does, and I understand this, it all means different things to different people, but it truly does capture the spirit. Like, I haven't seen these episodes, but what you're talking about, I'm like,
yeah,
that's the kind of Star Wars I'm interested in.
Yeah, right now. Just like these weird stories.
It's a wildly weird...
Yeah.
Like, it goes so far away from... I mean, you're, like, not with, like... the clones and the battle droids and Dooku and everything that, you know, that's happened. I mean, it's like this isolated, weird triptych of episodes that gets very hero's journey, that gets very mythological, you know, and it's fascinating. It's really cool.
And I know people are always, you know, nostalgic for the original trilogy. I, of course, love the original trilogy. But if you look at the whole thing, right, and you count the prequels... amongst the canon of the film Star Wars, which is considered the A canon, it's like you have things like General Grievous is a crazy concept. This like biomechanical robot spider dude who collects lightsabers from dead Jedi. It's like this very nuts thing that is like rad and super cool, and like I love it. And like the same with like the Kamino cloners. It's like, and I've been watching a lot of old interviews with George Lucas from like the last 15 years or so. And he was telling the story about, you know, it's very famous now that the quotes come out, especially now in the wake of this movie, but how he was saying like, you know, they wanted to make one for the fans and they kind of like decided that they're disinterested in kind of the treatments that I gave them. This is when The Force Awakens came out. And, he was saying like they wanted to make a retro movie, and I always want to make movies that are pushing forward. We go to new planets, we have new spaceships, like things like that. And it was like, that's like so interesting because it is like such a difference of philosophy. Even when he was going backward in the timeline, he was like, I want to present new ideas and new things.
He was Yeah.
These movies literally go backwards. Like, literally are like, we want the old ships. We want the old characters. We want the old villains. And it, I think it's one of those things where at the end of the day, it's like, okay, well, we didn't, you know, it, The Last Jedi tried to do, Force Awakens is wonderful, but it is A New Hope. And that's fine.
Yeah.
Last Jedi tried to push forward, and then this one like put its hand on its forehead and was like, stop it.
Yeah.
And it's just like a bummer that way.
It's a huge bummer.
This is the first time with Star Wars, with the Disney acquisition and everything, this is the first time that I'm like actually like worried. I've been very optimistic when people are like, Disney's going to ruin it. And I'm like, no, they've been coming out like, the stuff is good. And they're like, you know, it seems to be in good hands, blah, blah, blah. This is the first time that I'm like, oh, no.
I'm very concerned, too. And it's similar for me, Ryan. We've all, I think, been really positive pro Disney voices on this podcast, and in large part it's
like pro in terms of, I wouldn't say categorically pro Disney, but
well, I mean pro Disney Star Wars,
the Mickey Mouse and the Stormtrooper gear, right?
Oh yeah, Chris, mine's on my back. The one we all got separately.
Yeah.
I have that one too, but the. You know, we've really enjoyed these movies. We've been honest when we've seen flaws, but it's like it's been they've felt to me well stewarded and in good hands generally, until what happened with this movie, the fact that this movie got released in this form, I think is a bad sign. I think the way Terrio's talking about it, the way Abrams isn't talking about it, I think the way just the way it's like, this doesn't feel like the story group. This does, it's unclear whose cut this was. This feels very choppy and late, you know, in the game assembly. It's like it all. And then there's a huge contingent of the fan base who seems kind of hell bent, pardon me, on pointing a finger at Kathleen Kennedy and saying that she has somehow been a problem in this franchise, or somehow been a poor steward for this franchise. And I'm worried about her job right now, because I think when she's gone, I think all we're going to get is a lot more stuff like Rise of Skywalker, mm-hmm. which there's some fans out there, if you're listening to this and you're one of them, that may sound great to you, and that's awesome, and I hope it is awesome for you, but I cannot look forward to that. Like, more of this movie is like the worst possible direction
she could go. She is kind of that. She is that link to that kind of film school of thought, of just kind of the wonderment and the delight film school projects of like Spielberg and Lucas and that era. So she is kind of that link, and she does have that experience, and she knows what those boxes to check to make those kind of movies is. And it would be, I think, really bad for Star Wars if we lost that.
I mean, she was the person selected by Lucas to carry Lucasfilm forward. And when the sale happened, she was an integral part of that sale. And I think when you look at her tenure, the first three movies in her tenure get better and better. And one of them had problems, right, in terms of the making of it, and the director got replaced. But those movies under her leadership get better and better. And I think when you have whatever internet fallout was going on, which seems largely political in the discourse, I think we've been seeing an erosion of Kathleen Kennedy's power and authority over the last two movies, which have been the weakest entries in all of Star Wars so far. And I think we're seeing her power eroded. I think we're going to see her potentially phased out, and it I don't think it's going to bode well for the franchise.
Also, to just a reminder that, like, because of the kind of school she was brought up in terms of, you know, she was a protege of Spielberg and Lucas. Like, she's a filmmaker forward kind of executive,
mm-hmm.
which is not what Disney primarily is
in the movie.
So, like, she's been very quiet this press cycle.
Right.
Like, I don't think I've heard from her.
Yeah,
because
she probably saw the movie.
and I get it. I mean, like, these movies, the movies that she makes are insanely difficult to make. Like,
yeah.
The movies at the level that she's producing are, like, movies that they push the boundary, regardless of content, they just push the boundary from a production level.
Right.
And I think if you don't have someone that has that kind of experience and that kind of navigating, like, that's going to be very, very difficult.
I really hope that my sort of doomsayer's view doesn't come to pass. I know there's probably some listeners out there who heard what I said and think like, oh God, please get rid of her. You know, she's proven to be, I guess, a polarizing figure. I think it's really kind of ill-informed and ill-advised to see the problems with the films that have come out. And associate them directly with her, but
I think that's
I don't know. I think
what we're also seeing is just like you said, like we were always kind of like pro Disney. You know, they're doing a really good job of it. They're letting Lucasfilm kind of do their own thing. But that's like it's like kind of a classic like the classic story, right? When a company joins another company, and everybody's right. Like, "Hey, this is great," and then a week later, it's like, "What? I'm doing what?"
Oh, so, well. We're gonna be using our accounting team.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I was just gonna say, I think we got a little bit of transitional bliss where things were already in motion, and they were like, "Well, we can't upset this." And then once they kind of cut their teeth and get a little bit of money and skin in the game, then I'm sure the board and executive at Disney are kind of like, well, hey, wait a second. This is my company. Why aren't I making the decisions of this extremely successful wing? Like, I want a piece of this glory. And then these people are trying to put their mark on it. And I think that's the core difference between the Disney era and the Lucas era, is that you had one man making it for his vision versus using it as just a capitalistic enterprise.
Well, and you have to think about Bob Iger as a CEO and not as an artist, right? If you were running if Disney were a consulting firm and somehow generated the amount of sort of PR and like social commentary, like seeing social media and like the discourse among its sort of fans and acolytes being so so divided over the last few years, he's a CEO in kind of crisis containment mode of like, fix this.
Yeah.
You know, he's saying people are saying bad things about what we're doing with this. That's not okay. You guys fix it. And he's not looking at it from the artistic standpoint, which is that, you know, good art like kind of is divisive, and good art pushes things forward, and good art makes some people feel sort of outside of it and not like they understand it. And the best art over time brings those people around. Right. And like, you appreciate it more over time. And so, you know, I think it's like, we have to remember that Bob Iger, who does seem to have his hands very deeply into the movie side, like, and production side of Disney, he's not a producer. He's not a filmmaker. He's not an artist. He's never been in that side. And he's looking at it from what he's hearing. And unfortunately, in this age, you know, where we are with the internet, every voice, even a small number of voices, can ring very loudly.
Do you guys think that they'll release a quote unquote special edition of this movie? All things considered?
I don't think so.
I think we'll see something that's not subtractive. I think we'll only see something that has additive scenes. And they'll probably be quite inconsequential.
I don't think they're going to make a special edition that's shorter.
Well, no, I mean, like, I don't think they would, like, rework anything. I think they'd just
No.
Like,
I mean, like, do you think we'll see a 3-hour version of this movie?
I bet. But that...
Because now we got Dominic Monaghan talking about how they... They shot so much stuff when I was there.
That it's coming across a little different, buddy.
Everybody need to see this.
But it's like I don't think mostly his scenes.
Yeah, I imagine.
I think there's too much pride and too many egos involved. And I think if the speculation is true, I think if this movie went through iterations and was cut in some ways to appease mandates from like the literal top, you know, if Bob Iger was truly like actually involved in in cutting it, which kind of seems at least possible, if not probable. There's no way, not while he's in charge. That is too much ego there. It'll never happen. Also, when you look, I mean, there have been special editions of Star Wars, but like, you know, Disney doesn't release director's cuts. Disney doesn't release alternate cuts, mm-hmm. extended editions. They don't, like, that's not in their history. That's not in their DNA. That would be the only way I would see it happening, I guess, in my mind, is if they did a full, like, well, even then it wouldn't make sense. I was going to say if they released like the theatrical cuts of the original trilogy, yeah. and suddenly there were multiple.
After this whole thing, I bet they're doing that right and quick.
Yeah.
I mean, are you going to release a package of 9 films that's the theatrical cuts of the original trilogy, extended cuts of the sequel trilogy?
Did they do a different version of Endgame? Is that true? They've released a different...
Oh, right. Ryan brought this up.
They released one with like an extra scene or whatever.
That's what I mean. Incomplete CGI.
That's what I think they'll do, is I think they probably do have the benefit of having complete scenes if these rumors are holding true. They'll release it with some inconsequential scenes that will like add a few more jokes or like just literally make the movie feel longer, but it won't be...
You mean it won't be the 45-minute sequence that explains the past of the Knights of Ren?
Yeah, exactly. You're not going to see anything like that. You're going to see an extra quip from like Dominic Monaghan, and you're gonna see like things like that. I don't think.
Yeah, and I want to see the thing. Like, I want to see the original villain in this movie.
Yeah,
because it wasn't. It was Ian McDiarmid was not going to be in this movie. There's no way he got added late.
Do you remember when people asked like Matt Smith what his role was, and he was like, "Am I in that movie?" Like, it was like he had been confirmed.
Yeah,
it's another thing. Like in the media storm, it's like I completely forgot until after the movie came out. Like, oh yeah, Matt Smith was cast in that movie.
Yeah,
yeah.
So did I. They did such a beautiful job of covering that fact up.
The fact that he wasn't in it at all. Here's the interesting thing. Like wherever he was cut out of, it either means that he had, you know, an incredibly, incredibly small role, but it's like, that seems unlikely. Like, where do you get Matt Smith? Like, was Babu Frick originally a person? I doubt it. You know, I think that, you know what I mean? Or the alternative is like, he seems, I mean, he should have been either a high ranking first order officer or an even bigger bad. And I think this rumor of like this idea that Lucas wanted a Son of Mordor. I mean, look, I'm at this point propagating like just full on like forest fires of rumors here.
Breach.
But like, I'm really intrigued by that because that would be good casting. And when you look at how much JJ, you know, went to the story group on The Force Awakens and went to George on The Force Awakens and seemed so concerned, even though that movie ultimately, you know, didn't really forge new ground. I mean, it is so hard for me to believe.
Yeah.
That he didn't do that. And it's even harder for me to believe that this movie has any of George's DNA on it. I don't think there's a chance at all that George, like, you know, has anything in this movie that he approves of.
That he approves of? Well, he's got $4 billion, so he's...
No, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
It's very strange the way they talk about him with such reverence, but also are like, but we ask him for stuff and then we ice him out and then we have this scapegoat of like, at least we didn't do what George wanted.
Regardless of rumors, and maybe this just could have been just a concentrated choice on the press plan, but something happened end of September in October with everyone involved at Lucasfilm, because basically the loudest voices of Star Wars, like Pablo Hidalgo and Filoni and even Abrams himself, who was known to tweet quite a bit about what's going on in the set, everyone went dark. Something happened around that time that changed the course of this movie. That's my theory.
Can I say one more thing regarding the story of this movie?
Yes.
I'll be frustrated if you don't.
So we've spoken about this privately a little bit, but I really disagree with the Rey Palpatine thing. Okay. People talk about how it seemed inevitable, and their reasoning is it's Star Wars. It's all about bloodlines. She had to be someone. That's what Star Wars is. Nope. Because Because there's only Skywalkers and then everyone else. Everyone talks about it as if everyone in Star Wars is related to each other. It's the Skywalker family and then the world surrounding the Skywalker family. That's not me saying it's the Skywalker family and everyone else. Everyone else doesn't matter. What I'm saying is the only people in Star Wars that are shown to be related are the Skywalkers. It's not like a lineage of a ton of different families that we know. It's not the Lannisters and the Starks and blah, 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 blah. It's like, Sam, that's from a show. I know you've read the books. I don't know if they're different names.
I recognize it from some novels I read. But
Oh, yeah.
So yeah. This idea that Rey had to be a Palpatine because that's what Star Wars is ridiculous to me, and it holds no water at all.
It truly doesn't. And if you want to even go just a step further about like, oh, the only people, you know, it's really the Skywalkers are the only family. It's like, and also there's four of them.
Right.
Luke, yep. Leia, Anakin, and Ben. You know, I mean, like that.
Yeah. Shmi,
I guess Shmi,
as well, but
Shmi,
yeah.
Five. I didn't mean to cut Shmi out. You know, but there. So we've got, and it's not uncommon that a story would follow a family and follow the lineage of the family, right? And that's your way in the family unit.
And
right?
So we have Ben in the new trilogy. There's a Skywalker.
Mm-hmm.
We're full up on lineage. Cool. Didn't need it.
If they wanted to do that, then they should have just made Rey a Skywalker from the start. Like, that should have been... They should have just made it one of their children.
I want to be honest, like, about how I feel about this, because I've done some thinking, obviously. To me, then, if it adds nothing to the story, which it doesn't, and if it doesn't, like, adhere to these rules of Star Wars, which it doesn't, it's this made-up thing that people are talking about with lineage... The only reason I could see that they had to put that in is in order to answer people on the internet who are trolls and, dare I say, when I'm talking about this specifically, this misogynistic streak in fandom that need an explanation as to why Rey is allowed, quote unquote, to be the protagonist. And that's insane to
right.
me.
Dude, you're 100% right.
The fact
and
that people are
again,
like, oh, she's a Palpatine. Okay. Yeah. Thank God. People are like happy about this, not because it's cool, because they're like, well, that explains everything. It's like, explains everything. Get out of here.
What is it? It explains nothing.
It didn't need to be explained. And this is,
yes,
again,
exactly.
Man,
there was no explanation necessary.
Just going back to like where Rian Johnson had set this up after, you know, after episode 8, he had eliminated so many of these needless and like,
yeah,
just like BS strings of plot, and he had done the hard work that Abrams couldn't do, and Abrams, rather than picking up an 80-yard pass, batted it out of the sky and said, we're gonna kick a field goal,
right?
And that's what you got 3 points. Good job. Because it's so bad what they did, because you set up, like, again, we're talking about lineage, and if the arc of the Skywalkers is that Anakin flew so close to the sun and then fell tragically from grace, only to be redeemed by his own son in the end. And then Luke's nephew, Leia's son, is in this like opposite realm of like trying so hard to be edgy and dark like his grandfather, but keeps finding himself pulled to the light. You end this movie with him being pulled into the light and the Skywalkers ultimately being redeemed as like a family of like heroes in the galaxy, and maybe it's because of the hard work of like a true ray of light in the universe.
Yeah.
Like, that's a good story.
Yeah. Also, who's part of a created family that's an extension of what Luke helped create in the first trilogy.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, they all become this created family, even though Leia is a sister, but Chewie and Han, then they by a beautiful happenstance are introduced to this amazing character in Rey, and she is the one who helps rescue their son.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not enough for people.
I don't
get it.
It's, man, we have such a better movie going.
It's insane. It's almost, and I mean this with no willful intent to harm the prequels. I'm just saying this Rise of Skywalker almost felt like a prequel in the sense that it was just peddling back story. Like, it literally brought us up to no speed at all.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. There are people out there that like the Palpatine thing just because they think it's interesting or a nice piece of irony where it's like a descendant of Palpatine beautifully helped a descendant of Skywalker. That's fine. But people who saw this movie and were like, oh, well, okay, thank goodness JJ fixed that. Get out of here. Stop it. It's not because you think it's interesting. It's because you thought that there had to be an explanation as to why Rey could be such a good, powerful character. Like, stop.
Yep. Yeah.
Sorry to get so heated.
Yeah, no,
I've been holding this in.
I think this is a perfect way to kind of, you can't say it better, man.
This is the place to say it. And obviously, it goes without saying to our listeners, if you enjoyed this movie for whatever reasons, you had a good time at the theater, you had some great snacks, that's also perfectly fine.
Of course.
Yeah.
But you listen to us. No. And that is true. I agree with Chris. But also, look,
I would hope that listeners to this podcast know that we have no ill will toward someone enjoying this movie.
And look, if you're listening to this and you disagree,
between these things.
You know, I hope, just enjoy this. You probably are listening because you love listening to us, you know, riff and complain and analyze. That's what we do. Again, like Chris said, like Ryan said, we're not wishing anybody ill will, and it's all fun. It's all movies.
It's all movies. It's all a movie. I'm sure there
is. This one was bad. This one was barely a movie.
This one just feels disappointing because it's like, that's the lasting legacy. That's the message.
I mean, talk about marketing.
Don't worry. They'll end up being someone. They got to be somebody, right? Yeah. Or else they're nobody.
Talk about marketing also just like wishing they could have a mulligan of like, man, I really wish we could say there was another one of these, but we really hammered home
really
that this was the end of
the
saga.
Maybe that was some hardball from like Kathleen Kennedy to the studio being like, hey, you're going to make us make it this way? Well, then, guess what?
Don't worry. There's going to be like a... We realized that there was more story to be told.
Actually, underneath George's cabinet, we found something at Lucasfilm. It was in his office in between a wall space. It's the
he
script.
He begged us not to take it.
They'll ever do like an animated version of George's treatments? Oh,
that would be fun.
No. I don't think they will.
I don't think so either. I hope they... Like, you know, in 50 years when I'm on my deathbed, 50 years, my goodness, I'm giving myself a lot of credit.
Wow.
In 10 or 15 years when I'm on my deathbed, I hope that they,
Ryan, stop
you know, publish
picking up
like
smelting.
The notes or something.
Stop picking
you
know up I mean? Smelting. it's not a safe hobby.
Ryan's repairing,
think that
Ryan's
if
repairing
I died
a helmet.
Smelting, I'd be on my deathbed.
Ryan's
he
repairing
was
helmet.
In bed. we told him to stop smelting laying down, but he just loved smelting to sleep.
I think we'd see a remake of the original trilogy before we'd see any kind of Georgia script.
Oh boy.
Well,
Chris, tell us about comics.
I love Star Wars.
Yeah,
I really do. I love Star Wars so much. I'd be there for the if they remade everything. I'd be there.
I'd watch it all. I don't care. Just give it to me now. I'll tell you what. Oh yeah, in the comic
and
book
truly,
world,
I want to say this to the people, to the nice people out there that really like this movie. I'm not. I hope that it's clear what I'm taking issue with. With the Palpatine thing and the way people are reacting to it. Like, it could just be like a story faux pas or a story thing that I don't agree with, but this reaction to it, like from some like orders of the fandom, I really cannot get behind. So
I think people get that. I think it's clear. I don't think you need to worry, Ryan.
No,
I think you spoke with appropriate intensity. I think you're good.
Note on Palpatine, his first name is Sheev.
Yes.
Like Sheev. I hope he doesn't do it with anybody and make a baby.
That's a whole nother podcast.
Sheev Louise.
You got Palpatine, you got Yoda. Oh, here's some sad news about the movie though. Did we know that Nien Nub died in the final battle?
No.
Yeah.
What? How come no one's complaining about this?
Well,
he's at the end. He's at the end like hugging people.
It says,
no, he's in the briefing.
Yeah, he's in the briefing. He's not at the end.
What?
Yeah.
Is this a bit?
No, no bit.
This is his last words.
Sam, I'm sorry to break this to you on the pod. I didn't know you. I don't know how you guys handle.
For a moment, seriously.
Yeah.
Let's have a moment of silence. Chris, tell us about comics.
Hey, that was a very moving tribute to Neo.
What do you think's under that little leather flight helmet he's wearing? You know what I mean?
We really need to get to comics because it's in the intro. if somebody derails me one more time.
We're getting there. is he wearing Han's clothes too?
He's wearing Luke's clothes. He's wearing Luke's clothes and Lando's wearing Han's clothes.
It's very strange.
Was it just what was in the closet? Do you think that Luke has like a room on the Falcon?
He probably does. he has his own like suitcase.
Do you think after Return of the Jedi he'd like go into Han's room and be like, "Is this where you do my sister?"
No.
And here's why that's not okay. Because Luke should say, "Is this where my sister and you do it?" Because like that shouldn't be something that Han does to Leia. It should be something that Han does with Leia.
We'll cut that.
Oh, God. Take a time code note.
In Star Wars comics, we've got a new Darth Vader number one that has come out, and they're going to explore a little bit of
number
Anakin's
one?
Huh? Internals.
They restarted it a few times.
Who knows what's happening? They're going to explore a little bit of the man behind the mask.
I'm just glad they're finally exploring Darth Vader. You know,
right? We didn't get enough of that. We haven't got enough of that. Well, it is kind of neat. I feel this comic kind of tells, maybe tips their hand a little bit, if they are going to talk about Anakin and use the likeness of Hayden Christensen and kind of his thought process and things like that. Maybe they were going to do a little cameo in this movie.
I think they could easily reveal a Force ghost, Anakin.
Yeah.
Wait, when does the Obi-Wan has to take place before anyway. He wouldn't be a ghost yet. Never mind.
Who knows? And then also the Kylo Ren, Rise of comic kind of shows how he gets his backstory. You get a little bit more of that. You get a little bit more of the Knights of Ren. So if you're into those will be out soon.
Shouldn't it be like the fall of Kylo Ren? If Rise of Skywalker was all about like his redemption, why would we call it Rise of Kylo Ren?
It's the Rise of Kylo Ren. They need to have the word Solo.
They have to have the word rise or fall in their titles.
Do you think they'll do that? Do you think they'll do the like all the covers will be if you flip them upside down, it says Fall of Ben Solo?
Oh, that'd be neat.
Oh, cool.
If you read the comic backward, it says Paul's dead.
No, that's if you put it in your record player. Folks, if you like us, rate, review,
give us
your comments on iTunes or Stitcher or Spotify, anywhere fine podcasts are distributed. We'd really appreciate it. Follow us on Instagram at droidspod. Email us droidspod@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at droidspod. Or go to the Facebook. Just search the Droid You're Looking For podcast. We're the only one. And then YouTube, you can watch Ryan's epic playthrough of Jedi, The Rise of the Fallen Order on YouTube. You can watch that. Just go to YouTube, search Droids Pod playthrough, or just Droids Pod. You can also listen to the podcast there. So if you're listening to the podcast through there, hello. I think that covered it, guys. I think we did some
Fallen
work here.
Order.
We're still unpacking this.
Final order. Order 66. Yeah. Orders up.
At Dex's Dex. Diner.
If they do make an episode 10, because there's more story to tell, what will they call it?
Ooh.
Ooh, I like this game.
After orders.
Fourth meal. All right. My friends, it's been good. Mike, we miss you. Get back here. You got to lasso in this ship for us, but we'll get there. Folks,
yeah, man, did you hear that intro? Please come
that'll
home.
That'll do it. Mike. The droids you're looking for is Star Wars Podcast. What they throw?
Annie? Bubble.
Depends how big your pocketbook is.
All right, guys.
Frick is a thing you do with Babu. Not
Babu. Oh, boring conversation anyway.
Come back, Mike.